So today I want to talk to you about a weeping prophet named Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. You know, have you ever known a weeping preacher? You don't see me on Monday mornings. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not like Jeremiah. In fact, Jeremiah's ministry was really one that he proclaimed judgment to the house of Judah, to the nation of Judah. And he proclaimed judgment because of their unfaithfulness to God. And we're going to talk about him today. But in reality, what I really want to talk to you about Jeremiah and all of his ministry is don't quit. Jeremiah had a tough call. He had a tough call into ministry, and yet Jeremiah did not quit, even though at times his flesh wanted to stop. His flesh wanted to quit, and yet he himself found his strength and his perseverance in his God and the call that God had on his life. Roger Chambers said this, did you read about the time Jeremiah quit the ministry? He did not quit like Paul's associate minister Demas did. Whatever reason Demas gave to Paul when he left, Paul knew the real cause of the defection. It was because he loved this present world, Paul says. Jeremiah did not quit like those pure spirits who find the local church beneath their rarefied natures and whose righteously burned their collection of sermon books, file their ordination certificates under old business, and go sell tombstones to teach the English and become experts on the local ministry. And then I said, I will not make mention of him, Jeremiah said, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not contain them, Jeremiah said when he tried to quit preaching. Jeremiah quit the ministry in a way a genuine preacher might resign on Monday morning. More preachers write out resignation letters on Monday morning than any other day of the week after a tough weekend, probably a sour sermon or a poor reception to their sermon like I might get today, I don't know. How many decided ahead of time you're going to like it? How many decided ahead of time you're going to like it or lump it, right? Okay. Jeremiah quit the ministry in the way genuine preacher resigned on Monday morning. One preacher observed that he was glad that salvation did not depend on one's feelings, because if it did and the Lord returned on Monday, half the preachers in the world would be lost. Jeremiah tried to quit God, but he could not, and so he continued his prophetic ministry reluctantly. He was in the reluctance of Moses, reluctance like Moses, who tried to quit before he began because he stuttered. When God called him, he says, I can't be your spokesperson because I stutter. His was a reluctance of Amos, who admitted that he had been born was neither born nor trained for the office of a prophet. He was born to pitch fruit and chase sheep, but he allowed that since he was in this work, that he would have to preach it straight and preach it true. His was a reluctance of Paul, who confessed to the Corinthians that when he had been in the pulpit, it had been with weakness, fear, and much trembling. You know, we go through a lot of different preachers as you look through, both biblical, prophetic, and in this 21st century, who are called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is always trouble. There's always difficulty. There is always problems in churches. How do I know this? It's not just because I know it by experience as a pastor, but it's because there are people in the churches. You know, one preacher said that he loves the ministry, it's just the people he can't stand. And with Jeremiah was like that. It was like he might have loved his call and felt very awesome about it, that God would call him to such an incredible office as a prophet. But Jeremiah probably thought to himself, you know, this would be kind of fun if I could just go proclaim and preach and proclaim judgment and then walk away with an offering, maybe, I don't know. But it was difficult because Jeremiah faced difficulty and he faced persecution along with that. The prophet Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Let me give you a little background of him. His ministry was from 627 to 585 BC. 1 year earlier, the prophetic utterances of judgment that he proclaimed to the nation of Judah took place with the siege from Babylon, who in 586 BC besieged Jerusalem and tore it apart, literally, just crushed it. tore down the temple and raided the temple and took all of its gold and precious things from it and carried it off to Babylon. So his prophetic utterances, unfortunately, came to pass, unfortunately for Judah. But he was the weeping prophet. He didn't have, in all the years that he preached, didn't have one convert, so we know. But he was the prophet of loneliness and also the reluctant prophet. From the time before he was born, God had chosen him to be a prophet who for more than 40 years faithfully proclaimed God's judgment on apostate Judah, all the while enduring the opposition, beatings, and imprisonment for his message. His was a thankless job. Almost no perks, no pats on the back, literally, no encouragement from anybody. The leaders hated what he was telling. They hated his message. How many know that in America today, that there is becoming a more and more desperate hatred for the gospel of Christ and for Christianity? And I'm telling you today that, you know, it's easy to be a Christian and walk in truth and proclaim truth and proclaim the standards, the biblical standards that the Word of God calls us to live by when the nation was still a Christian nation. But now that it is an apostate nation, now that we have turned away from biblical truth as a nation, now we also face the same disgust and the same persecution that Jeremiah faced in his day. And it's only going to get worse until... And I have high hopes because I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I'm a proclamation that God has better things ahead for us preacher, that I believe that there's going to be a revival in the land and there's going to be restoration before the great coming day of the Lord. Jeremiah kind of was preaching and proclaiming as we are in the dark ages of culture, we might call it, when the nation and the culture calls evil good and good evil. How many know that's true? And yet we have to be people of the people of God, people of truth, people who stand on the principles and the truths and the principles of the Word of God, undeniably and unashamedly proclaiming that. Jeremiah knew that he had fears. He had fears for his life, fears for his safety, fear of being persecuted and beat again and tormented because of his message of the gospel. We haven't faced that yet today, at least not as a whole and not in a great measure yet to this nation. Thank God for that. But we don't have to be like Jeremiah. We don't have to be afraid because we know the God that we serve. Somebody say amen. God will take care. We are called to preach the gospel, to proclaim truth to people who don't know the truth and accept what comes. Just let the chips fall. Let the Holy Spirit do his work of convicting the heart and changing lives from the inside out. We don't have to be the Holy Spirit. Amen? We let him do the work. We don't want to quit, though. We want to keep on being faithful to proclaim the message of God in the power and the authority of God to a world that needs to hear the message of warning, of impending judgment, of eternal punishment in hell, and also to hear that God, through Jesus Christ, made a way of escape from that judgment through the message of salvation. And that is a gift from God. Lest any man should boast. It's not something we work for, strive for. We just receive it and believe it and receive it. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. And speaking out for God, Jeremiah faced persecution. Telling the truth cost this prophet his freedom more than one time. It cost him beatings more than one time. It cost him imprisonment more than one time. So we want to look today, you know, look at the chapter 20 of Jeremiah is where I'm taking my text. Chapter Jeremiah, in the previous chapter leading up to this, Jeremiah was doing demonstrative prophetic messages. What is that? Illustrated sermons. You know, he went down to the garbage dump outside of the city of Jerusalem, and he began to proclaim there that God is going to crush Jerusalem. God is going to send judgment. God is going to make Jerusalem and the people a place where people walk by and wag their heads and say, oh, these stupid people, why didn't they listen to their God? Whatever happened to them and to their glorious past? Look at them now. Look what they're facing now. There's a guy named Pashur here, the son of Immer, the priest who is in charge of the temple of the Lord. He was from the religious sect. He was one of the religious leaders. Can you imagine that? And Jeremiah the prophet comes along and he proclaims judgment unless the people of God repent and turn from their wicked ways. And Jeremiah was prophesying, and so he didn't like what he was saying, so he had him arrested. And the prophet had taken him and he whipped him and put him in stocks at the Benjamin Gate of the Lord's temple, right out there in front of everybody to shame him openly. People walked by, you can imagine the things that they said to him because they hated his message as well. They didn't like proclaiming judgment. They didn't like their sins being exposed publicly. So they walk by. You can imagine as he's locked up in stocks and he's been beaten, whipped. They probably walk by and at the very least probably muttered out curses to him. See what this, your message has gotten you? If you'd only preach good things, we would listen to you and you wouldn't be locked up and beat. You know, I can remember a time in the last church that I was a pastor at that there was a church boss who gave me all kinds of trouble. And he riled up the other two elders, and the deacons were on my side, but the elders, you know, boy, they listened to this church boss. And he gave me trouble, and there was finances dried up because the three elders gave probably most of the money in the church. And we were having a meeting one time, and I still remember what this guy said to me. He pointed his finger at me in the meeting in front of the other two elders, and he said, "If you would just do what we tell you to do, there'd be plenty of money." And I just looked back at him, and I just said, "You know, you don't know me very well. Money doesn't float my boat. Doing what is right does." And I'm just telling you that there's times, listen, you can buckle under and compromise because of the message of Christ, but I'm going to tell you, there's no reward in heaven for that. And you can make things easier temporarily on earth, but you'll pay the price later. You know, it's time for God's people, like Jeremiah, to stand up in the face of opposition and persecution and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ was crucified for sinners, that he paid the penalty of our punishment on the cross. The whippings and the beatings that he took were really we should have received, and yet he took our place. That he shed his blood as an atonement for our sins, that innocent blood that was shed for the guilty. And when we believe on him, it's like the soul song says, that when we are beneath the cross and we are plunged beneath the blood, the shed blood of Christ, all of our guilty stains are washed away. Aren't you glad that you can find forgiveness and cleansing and escape the judgment, the eternal judgment of damnation because of the believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, Jeremiah found himself in prison, and I think it was about that time I would have wanted to quit. How about you? I would have started wondering. And Jeremiah, he starts talking this way in verse number 7 of chapter 20. He says, "Oh Lord, you misled me." Anybody ever tell that to God? And I've allowed myself to be misled. And this is, you know, something when Jeremiah starts his lament and he starts kind of whining. Can I say whining? I know a lot of whiny preachers. And one of the biggest whiners, I could look in the mirror and say, that's him, you know, sometimes. Not always. But there's sometimes, like, you know, back at that last pastor when things are tough, you know, I denied the elder and said, "You don't know me very well, I'm not driven by money." And so, you know what I did? I just went out and got a part-time job. And I asked God, I said, "Just give me a part-time job, give me favor." And God gave me favor in that little town. And I worked part-time and was very successful. And God blessed me, gave me favor with my employer so much that they wanted me to work more there hours than I could work there. And then, you know, I needed to spend time with my family, which took a part of my life, and the church. But there came a time, you know, when the church came up to me, the treasurer, and said that there's not enough money to give you your paycheck. And I said, "Well, just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I won't get paid this week." And their thought came into my head. And, you know, we need to ask God for the gift of discerning of spirits sometimes and listen to what the Spirit says. Because you'll get three different kinds of thoughts in your head. One of them is yourself, your flesh, your own thinking. Another one would be the devil whispering thoughts into your head, twisting scripture and lying and making things out to be worse than what they are. And the third one is the Holy Spirit. Okay? And we need to hear the voice of God over ourselves and certainly over the devil's thoughts. And that thought came to me when I didn't get paid, and I thought, well, then I don't have to work as hard this week. I can just take some time off. And I instantly knew that wasn't my thought, because it just popped there like that. And instantly another thought came in and said, "Oh no, that's not right. I'm gonna give it my all, just as if I got paid." And that was boosted by the Holy Spirit from my own convictions, is that I'm not that kind of a guy. That, listen, when you get a call into ministry, when you get a call to be a pastor, you get a call in the office of the ministry, you know, you're not there doing it for money, not for a livelihood. It's nice. I say I love this job because it's what I love to do, it's what I'm called to do, and I get paid for it. Amen. But I always said before that even if I didn't get paid, I'd still be up here preaching, because that's my call. And that's what I did back in the last pastorate. I just thought, you know, just forget it. Don't pay me then. And I went and preached anyway, and I visited the people anyway, and I did what I was supposed to do. Jeremiah was that kind of a preacher, and I'm not comparing myself to him by any long shot, but there was a time when it's like, Lord, you didn't tell me I was going to face all these problems. I thought when proclaiming your word, I was going to be blessed and have favor. Lord, what's going on here? Why are people giving me trouble when I'm just doing your work? I'm giving them the message that you've given to me, and look what's happening. Jeremiah was like that. You misled me, and I allowed myself to be misled. What did he mean by that? He meant I answered the call of God no matter what. He made a decision in his heart that when God confirmed the call that God had given to him from his mother's womb, that he was going to answer that call, and he was going to be faithful come what may. Jeremiah was a man of God. And he goes on to say, you are stronger than I am. Duh. And you overpowered me. We might say, how did God overpower him? I think he overpowered him the same way he did me and the same way he does you. The Holy Spirit just rushed on him and overpowered him and motivated him to answer the call of God. He says, now I mocked the results of my answering my call to ministry. I mocked every day and everyone laughs at me. Every day and everyone. Do you think he was exaggerating? I don't think so. Sometimes we do, but he had trouble. He had real trouble with a capital T. When I speak, he says in verse number 8, the words burst out, violence and destruction. This is what I shout, violence and destruction, because that is the message God has given to him for that day and age in Judah. So these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke. They mock me and make fun of me because I've been proclaiming this all these years, and still the judgment has not come. But, he says, if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. In other words, he's saying, I cannot quit. I got to keep going on. My friend, today I'm telling you that you're going to go through testings and trials in your life. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean everything's going to go smoothly and go your way. You are going to be tested in your faith. There's going to be times you're going to get bad news from the doctor. There's going to be sometimes you're going to get bad news from your employer. There's going to be sometimes your finances are going to take a dive. There's going to be sometimes your relationships are in trouble. But I'm telling you right now that when that happens, you decide up front as a child of God, one who has been called into this wonderful life that God has saved us to, is you're going to decide today that I will not quit when that happens. That I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep trusting God. I'm going to listen to what he says, and I'm going to walk in his ways no matter what. Jeremiah, why couldn't he quit? Why couldn't he when he was in discouragement? He couldn't quit because he was confident of his call. He might have questioned, why did I answer the call? You know, one time when I was in that last pastorate, I kind of thought to myself. These were my thoughts. Boy, if I had known I was going to face all this trouble, I would have just stayed in business. After all, I had a pretty good job, making pretty good money. I had a health plan, a dental plan, retirement plan. How many know God's is better? And then I thought, yeah, I would have still answered because I can't do anything but preach. See, God has called me to that, and I'd never be happy doing anything else. And he says that if I say I'm not going to do it anymore. Jeremiah came to life and said, I'm not going to speak up anymore. I'm just mocked. They don't listen anyway. I'm not going to speak. He said that word was like fire in his bones, burning him on the inside. And the only relief that he had when he opened his mouth and he began proclaiming the word of God again. And that fire was subsided inside of him when he obeyed the Lord. I'm going to tell you, I pray for a holy fire on the inside of every believer, whether you're called into full-time vocational ministry, the office of ministry or not, that the fire of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ would be like a fire in your bones that would not quit burning until you open your mouth and begin to share the truth of the gospel with people who don't know about Christ. Amen? And so Jeremiah here, he said, whenever I say I'll never mention his name, I can't stop. Jeremiah had been preaching an uncompromised word from the Lord. He had been speaking with the authority of the Lord and a word of warning of impending judgment. He had been called, say called. called into this ministry and answered from a very young age. In fact, a really young age. Jeremiah's call and vision. He says, the Lord gave me this message in verse number 4. I knew you. This is what God says in Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. That I knew you. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you or called you as my prophet to the nations. Do you know that God knew you before you were ever born? See, that's the tragedy and the horrific terror of abortion, is that God thought and created that person, that little person in his mind and his soul before he, you know, before that seed was ever fertilized, that egg was ever fertilized. Before that seed was ever conceived, before you ever conceived, God knew you, and God spoke you into existence into that womb. And he calls you to your destiny from that womb. Do you know that God has a destiny for you? Not just for Jeremiah, not just for Pastor Tim or Pastor Mike. Or, you know, not just for preachers, but he calls you to a destiny. And God has a plan for your life. And Jeremiah, God told him up front that I knew you before you were ever formed in the womb. And I appointed you, I called you to be my prophet to the nations even then. God has a call for your life. God confirmed Jeremiah's call to the ministry. He says, verse number 6, O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you, for I'm too young. He, you know, had all kinds of excuses. I know when God called me to the ministry to be a pastor, I was 14 years old, and I thought, how can this be? From a dysfunctional home, the only Christian in the whole family of 8 children and 2 parents, and, you know, I didn't, my grandparents didn't know the Lord, and my, you know, aunts and uncles didn't, and it was like, you know, I don't know. This is good. But I had an awe, just stood in awe of that and just kind of filed it away. When I backslid and turned away from the Lord through my teen years and came back to Christ at 18, you know, I just thought, well, God, I'm not good enough. God confirmed that call to me even then, although I wouldn't listen. I thought, well, I'm not good enough because I backslid. God, you don't want me now. And that went on for several years. Then I told the Lord, well, I'm just not smart enough to be in ministry. Somebody say amen. Thank you for that. And I'm not trained. And I don't come from the right background. My family's dysfunctional, and, you know, my background just disqualifies me. And there's all kinds of excuses. If you want to dig and just kind of dig them up, you'll find all kinds of excuses. And Jeremiah was like, I can't speak, for I'm too young. And the Lord replied, don't say that. You know, God doesn't like it when we curse ourselves. Don't say that about yourself. Don't say I'm too young, for you must, say must, you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. So don't give me those excuses. And don't be afraid. Right? And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what? Of the people. You know, how many pastors are introverts? It's amazing. You think God would know better, you know? It's like, call an extrovert. You know, introverts just want to sit in the back of the church. Okay? And they just want to attend church. They don't want to get involved because they might get embarrassed, you know? And I'm not knocking introverts. My wife's an introvert. She's on the front row. Okay? But don't be afraid of the people. Why? Why not be afraid? Because I will be with you. And I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. And then the Lord reached out, and Jeremiah says, he touched my mouth. And he said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. God wants to touch you with his hand. And he wants to touch your lips, and he wants to open your mouth, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, so that you can proclaim the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He wants you to proclaim his excellencies to the people who have never heard of him or don't understand who he is. God wants to touch your lips today. He wants to open up your mouth so that you can speak the truth as Jeremiah did. Second reason Jeremiah didn't quit was he was convinced of God's word. God's word is always true. You know, there's some times when I stand up, you know, I'm preparing and I'm thinking, you know, boy, that was a crummy sermon, but then the word of God is always good. Word of God is always good. It's the word of God that's always anointed. It always accomplishes what God sets it forth to do, what he sends it out to do. It does not return void. God's word is powerful. It's more powerful than anything that you can think of. More than a double-edged sword, the word of God tells us in Hebrews. It, you know, cuts through the nonsense. It cuts through and divides truth and error. It opens up the wounds that have been gnawing at us from the time we maybe we were born, from our difficulties in childhood, maybe abuse that has taken place. And he opens up those wounds so that they can be healed and he can bandage them up. The word of God will transform your life so that you will be conformed to the image of Christ. So God says, don't be afraid. I'll be with you. I'll protect you. You'll speak because I touched your lips and opened your mouth to do that. Second reason he was convinced of God's word is his word burns in his soul. Burns in his soul like a fire. It was like fire in my bones. The word of God is powerful. It is, as we said, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and as discerner of the thoughts and the motives of the heart. Jeremiah filled his mind with God's word, not just God's prophetic word, but the word of the Torah, the word of the law of God, so that he knew truth from falsehood, so that he knew the righteousness from the wicked. He knew the word of God inside out. He had witnessed the power of God to change people's lives as well. He knew what God's word was capable of doing. After years of preaching and now prevented Jeremiah from quitting, he couldn't quit because he had experienced what I have experienced, what you have experienced. If you've served the Lord for very long through all of your difficulties, is that God has a track record of faithfulness. That God will never abandon you. He will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. God will stay with you through the hard times and through the good times. And how many know we need him desperately during the bad times? It's during some of those bad times we wonder where he is, but he's always in us and he's always with us. He never leaves us or abandons us. God is always with us. He'll never leave us. Never leave us. Jeremiah had a tough message to proclaim. We have a tough message to claim. We live in an age of apostasy and immorality, just unprecedented immorality. We live in an age where adultery and fornication, homosexuality, hatred, murder of the unborn, murder of the living even, and lying and cheating, materialism, spirit of materialism rising. And I'll tell you, that's not very popular to proclaim that as sin. People don't like to hear that. But it's the message that we need to proclaim is that God is calling us out of darkness into light. Not out of darkness into light so you can go back in and play in the dark. He's called us out of darkness into the light so that we might proclaim the excellencies of him who called us. To open our mouth and give a testimony. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. And that's the message that Jeremiah was preaching. But you know the good news is, it's the gospel, that's what gospel means, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have good news to share. He had to tell people the seriousness of sin and tell them the only hope they had was in God. Third reason he didn't quit was that he was convinced that his message would change people, that it had the power to change people's hearts and lives. Paul said in the apostle in Romans chapter 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. See, everyone. Everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Jeremiah was not ashamed of the word of God. He was not ashamed of the message that he shared. He was discouraged sometimes because of the persecution that was leveled against him and the hatred and the mockery, just as we would as well. But he was never ashamed of his God, nor was he ever ashamed of the message that he preached. He had a conviction in his heart that that was the message, and he had conviction in his heart that if people would simply listen to that and respond to the conviction, and if they repented, that God would change their life and change the destiny of judgment for the nation. He knew that his message would irritate some people, just as it does today, but he also knew that people needed to hear it despite of their opposition and their irritation. You may not like it, but that's what it is. Take it or leave it. And the unfortunate thing in Jeremiah's generation, they left it and judgment came, just as Jeremiah had prophesied. But you know, God always with the judgment offers a way of escape, offers a way of atonement, a way back, as he did to Israel as well. You know, Jeremiah had a message, don't quit. Look at the, up here, next slide. Don't quit, do it, right? Just keep doing it. Keep irritating people, especially your spouse, no. Keep preaching the message of truth. Keep proclaiming the gospel. no matter what the opposition is. And that's what preachers have to do. You know, more preachers quit by the thousands every year. They decide they're done with ministry. But you know, God hasn't called us to be quitters. He's called us to be persevering in the faith. And I want to tell you today that as we close today, kind of pick this message of don't quit, because I know from experience that sometimes you really want to when things are going bad, but we don't because we know that God has called us. And today I'd like if the leaders of the church would come forward, and Pastor Mike and Christy, if you'd come to the front, because we're going to honor somebody who didn't quit. We're going to honor somebody who deserves honor today. How many know that's a biblical principle? Don't quit. And I know this is irritating Christy because she's in the kitchen working, but I've been called to irritate. Elders, come up. Leaders, come up, would you please? I want you to join with me up here. Because this is Mike and Christy's 10th anniversary this week. I don't know if you all know this, but the average stay, I did some research over the last month when I talked to about this day of honor, knowing it was his 10th anniversary come up, and I had Deanna start the ball rolling and everything and got the board on board. It wasn't hard because they believe in honor as well. But the average stay at a church for a youth pastor, the average is 5 years. Which means, you know, sometimes it's more and sometimes it's a lot less. Sometimes it's like a year, year and a half, 2 years. And I know that there's been times that this couple, like Jeremiah, was discouraged, and yet they didn't quit. I remember talking to Mike over the years, you know, there are times some of the couples that they went to Bible college with, some of their friends went into ministry, and they quit. They got discouraged, and they quit. And, you know, sometimes you put up with an awful lot in the ministry. And yet, you know, you don't quit. I served as a layperson under several pastors, and you know, some of them I just stick by them, and I was loyal when they were disloyal, because I knew that was right. You honor authority. But you know, I didn't quit, and this couple didn't quit, and they deserve to be honored because of that. And they've been here at Calvary for 10 years. And guys, could you come up here, please? Come up here. These guys are shy. They must be introverts. Huh? Ken, right over here, there's a gift there that this congregation is giving to this couple to honor them. You want to take the lid off? Have Randy help you get it out of the box. Tony just stands there and does nothing. All right. This says, for your 10 years of service, Reverend Michael and Christy Bartz, we thank God for your true example of pastors who earnestly seek to serve the Lord with all their hearts and with all the spirit of excellence, with a sincere appreciation for your countless hours of labor done in love for this ministry and for your faithful dedication to the service of God. From your church family, Calvary Church. Now, we're going to dismiss in just a few minutes, and we have a soup lunch, and they made it, so, you know, they cooked their own honor own meal. So anyway, but we appreciate them. We love them, and there's a card shower. There will be a basket at the end of the table for you to put your cards in that you were asked to bring, and I'd like to give mine now and just say, God bless you, Mike. Thank you so much for serving with me. Thank you, Christy, for serving with us. God bless you. Let me pray for you. Would you stand and extend your hands this way so we can just release a blessing to this couple? You guys lay hands on them, and let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Mike and Christy and for their family. We thank you that you brought them to Marinette, to Calvary. That, Lord, out of all the world, Lord, out of all the people we could have called, Lord, we called them because you called them in our hearts. You brought them here to serve with us. And, Lord, they've been faithful. They've invested themselves, their time, energy, and talents, and their resources into this ministry, sown them in. And I know that this ministry is sown into their hearts as well. So God, we bless them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We release the blessing of God by the power of the Holy Spirit into their life and their ministry, into the call that you've given to them. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.